your program should begin very soon. Every Monday through Friday at 9:10 until 9:40, hear from the mayor of Cynthiana, James Smith, as he hosts his show, Coffee Break Extra, local guests and local topics, all for you. That's at 9:10 until 9:40, Monday through Friday, with your host, Mayor of Cynthiana, James Smith. Thank you for tuning in on WCY.
It's Monday, April 22nd, and you're tuning in to Coffee Break here on WCYN's 1400 AM and 101.3 FM. Today's show is being brought to you by Cockrell's Auto Center, Whalen & Company, Sorrel Home Medical, Hinton Mills, Eastside Pharmacy, Van Hook Hardware, E.D. Bullard Company, Flower Depot, and Ewalt's Grocery. Now let's say good morning to our host. It's Doug Miller.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to Coffee Break. Now, if you got up a bit earlier this morning, you will see that our Kentucky bluegrass was characterized by a bit of a sparkle. The frost. Can you believe it? Here in April, you know, this part of April especially. But
yes, it's cold. It was 32 when I woke up.
I'm showing about 32 to 34, depending on when I look at it here. But I think it's going to get better. The sun's out now.
I mean, sun's out. Yeah, it looks like we're at a high of maybe 62 today.
Yeah.
I mean, technically a high of 63, but it looks like, yeah, 61 to 63, somewhere in there.
The radar map, as I look at it, is clear. So looks like a good day weather-wise, maybe a bit cool. Did you say we'll hit the 60s maybe?
Yeah, it should be around 63, give or take.
I'll take that. But no rain.
No rain.
Or snow.
clear skies all day. And it might get cloudy tonight around 9 p.m.
So. Hopefully that may be the end of the frost for a while. Who knows? But this year, weather is, you know, you flip a coin, right?
Yeah, lows in the 40s all week. Looks like we get down to maybe 38 is the lowest of the week if things stay the way it's predicted.
Variable weather this time of year. And, of course, good night. Last few days we've had pretty turbulent weather throughout different parts of the United States. We got just kind of the seam of it. That went, it's all been kind of going in a northeasterly direction in the last few days, and some folks around the United States, especially in the Plains area, had some pretty rough stuff in the last few days. So hopefully that's over for a while.
Yeah, this year in general, we've had some weather. It's been wild all over the United States this year so far.
We are awaiting guests, ladies and gentlemen, and if they don't show up, Reed and I will start. There's one right now. But what I wanted to mention while we were waiting our guest, Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds, a player that amazed me last year when he came up when he came to the Reds and started playing. And he calmed down a little bit toward the end of the year last year. I think some of them may have gotten used to him and his tricks. But he did something over the weekend, I think, that has not been done since 1922. Yeah, in 1922, a player by the name, I think his name was Ken Williams. I saw this on the internet, folks. I'm not a baseball historian. He played for what was then called the St. Louis Browns. Yeah, that was the name of the St. Louis professional baseball team then. And what he did was in the first 20 games of the year, he got, I think 5 home runs and 10 stolen bases or something like that. Anyway, De La Cruz has done that this year, and it's not been done since 1922.
Has he done it in a record time? Like,
well, in the first 20 games, yeah. Okay. That's the measure, in the first 20 games of the year. I hope I got that right. The Canuck Law text line will correct me right now if I'm wrong. And, of course, as always, it's 855-650-4851. And good morning, Jeremy Northcutt. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine. How are you today?
Who's the rest of the preachers? Do we know where they're at today?
Scott is visiting with his family.
Okay, we'll give him an out for that.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm not really sure where Ted is.
Well, we'll check the jails. I can do that quick, you know, Jeremy. Who you got there with you this morning?
This is your cohort? Sylvia. This is my youngest.
She often accompanies you.
Yes, she's my sidekick.
She's your sidekick, and is she in charge of your general deportment, keeping you in line and everything?
Pretty much. We've got homeschool co-op after this, so we're headed to school after this is over here today.
There you go. So you're going to do a little schooling today, right, ma'am? She's not extremely eager to speak on the radio. I haven't been able to get her to talk yet.
She's still a little sleepy, you know.
Well, so am I, ma'am. We'll take a nap here. A dog's life is not bad, Jeremy.
Yeah.
Yeah, because they get at least two naps in a day. You know, you get up, you go out, you eat, you go to sleep till noon. You know, maybe you have a snack. Some people give the dogs a noontime snack, and then you have the afternoon nap.
Yeah.
And eat again, and you're ready for the evening.
Absolutely.
So a dog's life is not bad. Here he is.
Where's the man?
Good morning, Ted Beam.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
I'm doing all right.
Well, that's good. Jeremy and I checked the jails already and found that you weren't there, so.
You didn't check the right ones.
Oh, did I? Went back to Ohio again, huh? I want you to stay on this side of the river, Ted, because it saves me money. I don't have to extradite you, you know.
I understand.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
I got in a little bit of trouble years ago because of that.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Over the river and back or what?
I was in a job interview,
mm-hmm.
and I thought I'd be a smart aleck, crack a joke,
yeah,
and said, I appreciate you folks doing your background check, limiting it to Kentucky. They just didn't think that was funny at all.
That was funny at all, huh? Well, oh goodness! Of course, Ted, of course, is in the pulpit at the
First Methodist Church,
and Cynthia Anabaptist. You'll find Jeremy Northcutt in the pulpit there every Sunday. And welcome again to Coffee Break, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Good to have you back. I think I missed the last time you were here. I had a cold or something, I think, didn't I?
Yes.
I believe. Yeah.
Yes.
You know. Well, you know.
You were wearing a suit that day.
Well, I was looking like somebody, right?
Yeah.
I had the armor on, you know.
You did.
I had to laugh. You remember the old movie Cat Ballou? You guys are so young, you probably don't. Jane Fonda was in it. And, good night. I can't think of the actor's name. Lee Marvin. Lee Marvin played an old, washed-out, drunken gunfighter, okay? And, there was a scene where they roused him up again to get him ready to do a gunfight. They got him sobered up, and his aide, I guess, is kind of like Sanchez to Don Quixote.
Don Quixote, yeah.
Yeah. Was dressing him, putting him on his Western vest and everything, and he was standing there, with his hair made up, and it's kind of like he's getting ready for the gunfight, you know. And I always said, when a lawyer gets up ready for a trial, starts putting on that suit and everything, it reminds me of Kid Shalene getting ready for the gunfight. I remember I was getting dressed for this last trial we had, and I mentioned to my wife, I said, I'm not going to be doing this many more times. Oh, that's kind of sad. I said, no. I don't have anything to prove.
Hey, maybe you can confirm something for me.
What's that?
Years ago, I went to a workshop on conflict resolution, mm-hmm. conflict management, that sort of thing.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was being put on by a trial lawyer.
Okay.
And within that...
I'd be one of them, I guess. Well, I've been called that.
Well, within that time frame, he mentioned at one point that somewhere around 94% of all the cases never make it to court.
Oh, that's
they're
true.
Plea bargained ahead of time. And he said that a lot of people don't realize how well the attorneys are at coming to a resolution.
Yeah.
And that surprised me. I thought I need to check that out at some point.
Well, I would say well over 90%. Okay. And you're talking about civil and criminal, and I am too. Probably 90% of them or more are resolved prior to trial. Now, that's a good thing because when you settle a case, as we say in mediations, I'm a mediator. I don't do it anymore. But if both sides leave the mediation thinking that they've not received everything they wanted but most of it, then, if nobody's totally happy, you've probably got a good result. Does that make sense?
Sure.
And, we try not to make these Solomon-like decisions where, put people in that position. But, that's true. And if it wasn't for, conflict resolution, we call it alternative dispute resolution, mediation's used a lot in civil cases in Kentucky. Back in my private practice, we settled a lot of cases via mediation. And, the lawyers know what's going on. And a lot of times, It's the fairest and most equitable way to do things. Now, we've started more than, you know, criminal cases. People ask me about that a lot, obviously, because I'm the Commonwealth's attorney. But 9 out of 10 of them are resolved. Now, it's a good thing because we don't have enough days in the year to try all those cases. You know, we've got several hundred cases and only 365 days in a year.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
But 9 times out of 10, yeah. And another reason is, you know, a lot of people say, well, you know, you don't see as many private lawyers in criminal cases as you used to. You still do some, but 90% of them are represented by the Department of Public Advocacy, the public defenders. Now, they do a wonderful job, really. They get a bad rap sometimes, or they have historically, but they do a great job. They're fantastic lawyers, and they just wear us out, okay, which is what they're supposed to do. But people can't afford lawyers anymore, like they can't afford gas or anything else, and so it's unusual that in a criminal case you have someone represented by private counsel. Yeah, it still happens, but not nearly as much as it used to.
All right.
So anyway, that's true, though, and thank goodness for it, really.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and, you know, it's just like any dispute you have, if you can get some people to sit down, share their thoughts and concerns, and try to work through things, a lot of times that is a lot better than lawyers hollering and carrying on in court and, you know, trying to, you know, run a sword through each other's ribs.
Sure, sure.
Okay, you want to talk religion or anything like that today, gentlemen? You're both preachers and all, you know, you kind of showed up wearing the mantle. You know,
whole thing about conflict.
Well, that's what, yeah, true.
We could just, you know, segue into that.
Well, you know, the golden rule.
But we don't have any of those where we are.
No, you don't have any conflicts. No, never any problems in church, is there, gentlemen? You know, I heard one time an old person tell me that church politics was the meanest politics there was. Is that true?
Probably so.
Yep. Jeremy agrees. You know, I saw something interesting. We were talking one time about the great world religions, and, you know, people generally think of five. Obviously, there's more than that. But I thought for a number of years that in terms of numbers of followers, okay, that Islam was the largest. And I saw some statistics on the Internet where I think it was a Pew Foundation. Somebody does research. I think they were pretty – that says Christians. There's more Christians than Muslims now. Have you seen anything like that? I'm talking about across the world.
It's my understanding that Christianity is the fastest growing religion by conversion,
mm-hmm.
and Islam is the fastest growing by birth.
Okay,
to where they simply are born in the family and they stay with it.
Yeah,
Whereas Christianity gets their largest numbers by conversion, and somewhere about 20 years ago, Africa became the most Christianized continent.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that was the shift in the evangelism tactics. They had gone in preaching Jesus and the New Testament for a century or so. And about 30 or 40 years ago, they shifted and they started presenting creation and the Old Testament, where Yahweh, the God of the Israelites, would conquer, you know, one God after another as you read through the Old Testament. And what they found was that by going with that tactic, they would see entire villages turn to Christ because of what they would call power encounters. They
mm-hmm.
They would see people healed. They would see, you know, their gods would kind of like the old Baal on the on Mount Carmel,
mm-hmm.
where their gods never showed up to the battle.
He didn't show up for the day.
But Jesus did.
Yeah.
And so they saw the conversions just accelerate across the continent of Africa.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, for many years, I think, correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, Islam, in terms of numbers, was the biggest religion. And, of course, we think about it in the Middle East primarily, but Islam is a major religion in Indonesia, I think.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
All the island countries over there. We'll talk more about that with Ted Beam, Jeremy Northcutt on Coffee Break this morning. As always, I invite your questions. Try to stump the preachers this morning, folks. There you go. 855-650-4851 is the Knupp Law text line. If you have a question or comment, as always, I appreciate Ted and Jeremy coming in. and you should too. We'll talk more about our current subject and anything you want to talk about. If you give us a subject, we'll talk about it. Coffee break, quarter two after this.
Recovering from the trauma of a car accident is stressful enough. Finding a good repair shop shouldn't make it worse. Cockroach Auto Center on US 27 South has been at the same location since July 1981. And with 10 technicians, you will get your repair work done right the first time in a timely manner. So take the anxiety of repair off your shoulders and allow Cockroach Auto Center certified technicians to return your vehicle to its original condition. Cockroach Auto Center, locally owned and operated since 1981.
They'll sell your house, they'll sell your farm, and help you buy one too. Don't you see, they've been around since 1953. They'll insure your house, they'll insure your farm, and all your properties. Oh yeah, don't you see, it's Whalen and Company. It's Whalen and Company.
Whalen & Company has a great listing at 106 Oddville Avenue in Cynthiana. It's an excellent opportunity to own nearly 16,000 square feet of building space on an acre of lot in downtown Cynthiana. For more information, call Isaac Whalen at 859-588-0003. That's Whalen & Company, 859-234-5454.
This musical moment is brought to you by Sorrel Home Medical Equipment. Sorrel Home Medical Equipment thought for the day. If you don't have time to do it right, when will you have time to do it over?
My great-great-grandfather opened the first Hinton store in 1918, and our family opened our first feed mill in the mid-1950s. We now have 6 locations and a wide range of products, including feed, seed, fertilizer, crop protection, animal health products, fencing materials, and pet food. Though times have changed, our commitment to providing you with the highest quality products and knowledgeable customer service is as strong as ever. I'm Addie Hinton. Stop in and see for yourself. Hinton Mill, serving farmers since 1918.
If you have a comment or a suggestion for an upcoming Coffee Break program, call 234-1400 or send us a message at the Coffee Break page on our website at WCYN.com.
And you're back with us on Coffee Break. Men of the Cloth with me this morning, and we appreciate them coming in about once a month. Ted Beam of the United Methodist Church here in Cynthiana, and the pastor of the Cynthiana Baptist Church, Jeremy Northcutt. We were talking about the great religions of the world and how many of us are, you know. And now, Ted, I was thinking about, and Jeremy, certainly y'all, you know, you join in here whenever, okay? But so Christianity is probably the most populated religion now, according to the surveys and what you're telling me, Ted. Then we have Islam, and then Judaism, and there are the three great monotheistic, all three purportedly worship the God of Abraham. Okay, kind of got differences of opinions after Abraham, but basically we start there, and then you have what's a Buddhist, Hindu, Sikh. They would be the next three, I guess, probably in terms of numbers, right?
Probably.
Yeah. So, you know, apparently...
and then communism would be in there, too.
Communism. Well, it's a religion to the communists. It's a pagan religion.
Whenever you have a framework for how you think and make decisions, and that's communism. You know, we, as Christians, our framework for making decisions is from the person of Jesus. You know, it's not the church rules. It's the very person of Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
So that's why Jesus said, "Follow me." He didn't say, "Follow these rules."
Yeah. Well, as we said, in my church, we're to be disciples still.
Right. Yeah. Right. So, so it has to do with that framework where we make our decisions, and and communism is pretty high up on the list.
Well, I think it's suppressed religion.
So,
of any kind, really.
It's worked very hard, especially in China.
Yeah.
I worked very hard at that, yeah.
You know, I don't know. There's questions as to whether or not it's true or not, but Biden relates a time in the past when, not when he was president, but when he was maybe a senator or even when he was vice president, and he met Putin. And supposedly he said to Putin something like, when I look in your eyes, I see that you have no soul. And Putin said, then we understand each other. I don't know if that's true or not. Purportedly it occurred. I would say that if it had occurred, I would have no trouble believing it, though.
I don't know.
Anyway.
I've looked at a few men that way.
You see them from time to time,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Well, you know, when you get right down to it, gentlemen, and I don't want to oversimplify morality or religion, but we've got dark hearts and we've got white hearts.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Well, you go ahead.
Roughly 80% of Harrison County is unchurched.
Really?
Yeah.
It goes to no church at all.
No church affiliation, absolutely.
Now, you know, a lot of folks, Jeremy, as you well know, you get down there and look at the rolls of your church, you're going to see a whole lot of names that you've never seen since you've been there. So people still belong to churches, but you're talking about 80% in that category that belong somewhere and just don't go, or that just have no affiliation whatsoever?
No affiliation whatsoever. I got the stats the other day from the 2020 census, and roughly 19,000 population of the county, and about 80% of them don't claim any affiliation.
You realize that this is your all's fault. You need to be pushing the Great Commission a whole lot more.
I'll own that. Absolutely, it is the church's fault.
Well, I was kidding.
I'm serious though. It is the church's fault. If we were actually doing what we were supposed to be doing, those numbers would not be anywhere close to that.
Yeah.
Let's talk about that a little bit.
Proceed. We have a test here, but I'll find the test. Go ahead, Ted.
We have something going on in the churches that is not going on anywhere else across the community, and that is the churches consistently will try to reach the entire community. And I've noticed that McDonald's doesn't sell pizza. You notice that?
Yeah, they don't sell pizza.
Well, but see, that just blows your mind when you actually think about it. They're completely comfortable selling burgers, fries.
Right.
And I noticed that Walmart doesn't sell trucks. And yet McDonald's and Walmart are incredibly successful. So what would happen if the local church, let's say local church number one, says, you know, we've got three men in our church that hunt. Mm-hmm. They hunt with bow and arrow. And so they decide they're going to befriend the coaches of the archery team, mm-hmm. and a couple of the archers, and they begin to target all the outreach toward the families that make up the archery team throughout the school.
Okay, yeah.
And then church number two says, you know, we've got the soccer coach that attends here. We're gonna focus on all of the soccer programs, youth, middle school, high school, we're going to focus, boys, girls, we're going to focus on soccer. And then we got another one that says, you know, we've got a dozen people in our church that work at the hospital. We're going to focus at the hospital. But for some reason, the churches will not limit their outreach. And as a result of that, it's so diluted, it's ineffective.
So in other words, you're saying that it needs to be more specific. Find an area, go in like a surgeon.
I'm saying that every other part of society does that and are succeeding.
Yeah.
The church is the only one who puts blinders on and says, oh, no, we're trying to reach everybody.
So our Protestant,
and as a result of that, we reach nobody.
We need to look at the proper way, and I don't mean this in an irreverent way, but we need to market the Lord a little bit better, I guess.
I'm just talking about how to eat an elephant one bite at a time.
Yeah.
Don't try to swallow the whole thing at once.
Yeah.
The rest of society understands that.
Yeah. Well, basically what you're talking about then, Ted, is kind of a paradigm shift,
Paul,
in how traditional Protestant churches' outreach worked.
The Apostle Paul.
You're
Paul,
talking about turning things to a different direction here, right?
Somewhat.
Yeah.
The Apostle Paul told us that we do not wrestle or we do not battle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But he uses the language of warfare, of battle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
In the Old Testament, we have a lot of
fight
records about battles and warfare, and yet consistently the church will go overboard on love, and they completely ignore we completely ignore the tactical element of war.
Yeah.
So what would happen if we divided and conquered?
Yeah.
That's simple. I don't know anybody successful that you know, micromanages 10 things simultaneously. They do one job, they finish it. They do another job, they finish it. Yeah. That's what makes somebody success. They don't juggle 29 balls up in the air.
So you're saying the outreach of most Protestant types of outreach is too
diluted.
Too diluted
to be effective.
And so we need to pinpoint and make more of a target, I guess, if I can put it that way. You agree with that, Jeremy?
To some extent, I think it is good to pick specific niches and focus on those if you've got some guys that are interested in things like that. And there's a term that KBC uses with evangelism, where you've got specific, like the wild game dinners and that sort of thing.
And
it does work very well. Yeah. I think we've simplified it a little bit.
The cowboy churches and that kind of their approach?
They're more focused on that genre of culture. But I think that it's more complex than that as well. You know, you can go into I was a coach for archery for 7 years, and actually started in evangelism with Center Shot even before that. And you can focus on a group like that, but within that realm, you're going to have a lot of folks that still are not going to believe or put their faith in Christ. Excuse me. And that's just it.
It's a difficult job you guys have.
Nine out of ten people that you talk to will not accept Christ.
Yeah.
That's just the stats that we've got.
You know,
we did door-to-door this past week. Dr. Gray, Todd Gray came down from KBC, and we walked down a couple of streets. And most of the doors that we talked – or people that we talked to on, you know, in the houses, they just – one guy even told us he didn't care. You know, we shared the gospel with him, and he said, I don't believe there's anything after this life. You live, you die, that's it. And, you know, our response was, well, what if you're wrong? And he said, I don't care. I'll deal with it then.
The so-called atheist.
It's going to be a little too late.
Nowhere to go. And, you know, but what if you believed like that? If you believed that there was nothing after this, what are you getting up for in the morning? I mean, I don't know
what the purpose is.
How could you live without some type of faith?
Well, but see, a lot of people don't think purpose is necessary. That's a psychological thing. They just don't believe purpose is necessary. But the Billy Graham Association did a study years ago, I don't know when, but they discovered that on average, it takes 17 to 19 contacts with one person before that person responds to the gospel. Okay, 17 to 19. And what we've speculated is that, let's say it's on number 19 where somebody says yes to Jesus. The first 18 people who interact with that person think they wasted their time, they didn't do anything, and the one thinks they did everything. You know, the one who was there at the point of decision thinks, wow, I led this person to Christ. No, you didn't. You simply held the door open. Everything else was done. The road was paved. Everything was done in advance by the 18 people who had already shared the gospel with them.
Yeah.
And so we have, on a regular basis, and I'm going strictly by what I've experienced with ministerial associations in each community where I've been, we have folks who dilute their outreach. They will reach out to somebody two or three times and then decide whether or not it's worth continuing based on their level of resistance. Well, Graham told us you can expect resistance close to 20 times.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of the resistance is born of the kind of human beings that practitioners of the art of religion have to approach today. Okay. And by that, I mean, you go back 300 years ago and there weren't as many man-made miracles. If you get a kid nowadays that's 12 years old, all the high-tech stuff they see miracles every day. You start telling them about the miracles of a man that lived 2,000 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Do you have that difficulty? You understand what I'm saying? I mean, you take a guy that was out here herding sheep or something 200-300 years ago and say there's lightning and all that, they're going to be amazed by that. Kids nowadays know what causes lightning scientifically. You know what I'm saying? Not that I'm divorcing that from nature and God, but you see what I'm getting at? it's a different human being that you have to deal with today to bring him to salvation.
But it still takes a perseverance that, because of our impatience.
Yeah, and impatience is another thing. Yeah.
And in our society, we push for impatience.
Yeah.
That's why we get the self-checkouts. That's why we have, you know, if there's more than three people in line, we open up another one.
Yeah.
Because we will not allow anybody to develop their own patience. And that undercuts evangelism tremendously. Yeah. And we gotta turn the church around. And that's one out of 100 points.
Gentlemen, some churches have music with organs and pianos. Some churches have bands. Some churches have no music at all. Some churches have only a cappella music. We have a text here about music in church. Okay? We'll talk about that. And, hey, lots of other things with Ted Beam and Jeremy Northcutt.
Are you searching for a reliable pharmacy? Eastside Pharmacy is here for you, proudly serving our community as a family-owned and operated Health Mart pharmacy since 1974. At Eastside Pharmacy, your health is our priority. Our friendly and knowledgeable team of pharmacists is dedicated to providing personalized care and exceptional service to each and every customer. Need a prescription filled? Count on us for fast and efficient service. We offer convenient online prescription refills and hassle-free transfers from other pharmacies. We're here to make your life easier. As a Health Mart pharmacy, we bring you a wide range of high-quality products. From prescription medications to over-the-counter remedies and health and wellness essentials, we've got you covered. So whether you need a prescription-filled health advice or a friendly smile, Eastside Pharmacy is here for you. We're proud to serve you.
Van Hook Hardware on Pike Street has a large selection of hardware items. Van Hook's is your UPS service center. Ship UPS free with UPS drop-off. Like Van Hook Hardware on Facebook for the latest updates.
Check out these bargains of the month while supplies last or until the end of the month. 5,000 square foot of weed and feed from Green Thumb, $17.99. A 16-pack of AAA or AA Duracell batteries, $14.99. 2 cubic feet of Miracle-Gro potting mix, $9.99 after mail-in rebate. An extra-large zero-gravity chair, $49.99. 3x50 feet black landscape fabric, $5.99. A 50-foot zero-G garden hose, $35.99. 5.5 pounds of garden weed preventer, $13.99. And a 10-pattern hose nozzle, $7.99. Those bargains and a whole lot more at Van Hook Hardware in downtown Cynthiana.
If you have a comment or a suggestion for an upcoming Coffee Break program, call 234-1400 or send us a message at the Coffee Break page on our website at WCYN.com.
Well, we're having off-record discussions with the preachers here about how different people... We're going to get to the text about music. It's halftime already, guys. I can't believe it, but I've almost forgot that it's halftime. But it is halftime indeed, so the City Buzz Magazine time. That be 8:32 a.m., and let's see, today is the 22nd. Hey, it's today, folks. Doors open at 5:30, speakers begin at 5:45. Yes, that's at the Harrison County Extension Office. What is it? Well, it's the Women's Health Information Seminar. Dr. Ashley Blake, Kelly May from, with the Extension Office of Consumer Sciences, and Jenny Lynn Varner. Who is always entertaining and informative. That is there for you at the Extension Office once again today at 5:30 p.m. What else do we have here? We have our deal of the week. And believe it or not, folks, it's a knife from Amberson Farms. How about that? And, hey, we appreciate it greatly. You know, there were a few weeks there we didn't have a knife from Amberson Farms, and they've restocked us here. Amberson Farms, of course, as I always say, the place for case knives, that is. But they have so much more over there. You need to visit this place. It's right there. I don't know if it's Cincinnati Road or Cincinnati Pike. I always get that mixed up. But it's Cincinnati Road in Georgetown, or Pike, as you choose. Go over there and visit. Nice folks and all kinds of stuff, any kind of case knife you want, or they can get it if you don't want it. And I will now place on the auction block for this week a Case White Synthetic Rough Jig Peanut Stars and Stripes knife, folks. That's right. If you're patriotic, This could be the knife for you. Very, very nice knife. It's all white, but it's got the stars and stripes on it with the case logo. And, hey, if you want to see what it looks like, go to WCYN.com, click on Deal of the Week. You'll see it. You'll see that it is a $70 knife retail. And I believe, Reed, you've written $40 on here. Is that the high bid?
Yes.
Got a bid on that bad boy.
Somebody texted in this morning from the website.
So. There you go. A buy bid already on that one. Okay. Anything else for halftime, Reed?
I think we're good.
Okay.
Edward just updated me on everything, but he'll talk about all that.
All right.
Coffee Break Extra.
Yeah, Ed will probably be talking about Ellie De La Cruz doing that number in 20 games or a big deal. I wonder if Ed knows about that. He'll say, well, how'd Miller find that? Okay. Ted Beam, United Methodist Church. Jeremy Northcutt, pastor of the Cynthiana Baptist Church. And they're here with us on Coffee Break this morning. And gentlemen, I'm going to direct us in another direction here with reference to a text that I have received, okay? Textor says, the college I attended, a Southern Baptist convention school, forbade dancing to the point that a square dancing class was called Basic Rhythms. Instead of using the word dancing, they called it Basic Rhythms, okay? Also, several churches will not use musical instrumentation. What are the biblical reasons for this? Now, I know at the United Methodist Church you have music.
Right? We do.
And I know well at the Baptist Church you have music.
Yes.
At my church we have music. We have the organ, the piano. Good night, sometimes other types of instruments will come in and perform. And I know you all do that at the Baptist Church. What about the Methodist Church?
As often as possible.
You have any kind of music that...
Okay.
Talk about that. Why do you have music in church? And I don't know if you all can speak for churches that don't, but you've read the Bible a few times. What verses in the Bible do those folks rely on that do not feel like that they're comfortable with music or instruments in church? Y'all want to talk about that?
Well, just very briefly.
Yeah, go ahead.
The rationale I've been told by those pastors is that musical instruments are not mentioned in the New Testament. Therefore, we don't have them, and that's it. And when I point out, what about the Old Testament, their response is, but we don't go by the Old Testament, we go by the New Testament. I just don't agree.
Yeah.
And I got 1,000 reasons as to why I don't agree. One of them is because I believe in lawyers and court. And
Good for you.
Well, since the New Testament quotes the Old Testament as a precedent,
right,
that means the New Testament views it as authoritative.
Call it stare decisis.
Yeah. You don't quote stuff that's irrelevant.
Yeah.
You quote stuff to bring authority to your argument, to prove, to show the judge he needs to go in this direction.
That's what we lawyers call precedent stare decisis. It means it has been determined. It has been decided.
Yeah. 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 And since the New Testament claims the Old Testament is authoritative, it's kind of hard to have that argument.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is.
Yeah.
It's hard to argue that the Old Testament is no longer authoritative.
Jeremy, it's always good to hear a preacher, you know, reference lawyers as...
In a positive way.
In a positive way. You have anything to add? I mean, I know the Baptist church has always been full of music. Depending on the Baptist church, it can get right exciting.
Now, not always. They haven't always.
Oh, well, go ahead.
Yeah, the caller referenced a Southern Baptist school. And I would agree with Ted. I think it's important to have music. In the Old Testament, there are, the psalm says, praise the Lord with the thimble or the tambourine and the lyre. And all. So I think you can have instruments in. That would be my personal opinion. However, that's not always been the case. The previous church that I served as pastor, looking through the minutes of the early 1900s, there was an incident in the minutes there where there were four young girls that attended I think it was some sort of party or something that someone had, and they were dancing, and one of the members saw them dancing, and so they excluded the girls from attending church for a period of time. That was a punishment.
Really?
You didn't get to go to church for a while.
Get to go to church.
I just thought that was kind of comical.
Well, there is an off-color joke, I know, but I'm sorry. I'll tell you preachers off the show, but I'm not going to. You know, it's interesting, Jeremy. They mentioned the text. Or, by the way, the high bid now on the knife is $45. We just got that in. But you guys don't mind if I pause every now and then and sell a knife to you? Okay. But, you know, the Baptist, I guess denomination, if I say. Obviously, we've got the Southern Baptist Convention. Now, Cincinnati Baptist Church is
still, yeah, we're Southern Baptist.
You're Southern Baptist, yeah. And I'm familiar with that, okay? But you've got all these myriad of Baptist churches.
Yeah, just like it is in the Methodist Church. It breaks up. There's independent Baptist, primitive Baptist.
But they're all conservative. Yeah. Well, and you go to a Baptist seminary, okay?
Yeah.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but I've heard tell this, as they say. Baptist seminaries, the thrust of the philosophy of it, you know, liberal versus conservative ways of looking at things, it changes from time to time at different seminaries. Is that right? Like you go to, what's the big one in Louisville?
Southern,
yeah. I've heard that you go to that, you know, people that's gone to it for a few years say, well, they're very liberal. Then they'll come back, and now they're conservative. You know, about that.
There was years ago, and it's been decades ago, there was a liberal element to that, and then the conservative resurgence came.
Yeah.
Dr. Moeller is there now, very conservative.
Yeah.
He's leaning toward the Calvinism side, so there's a big push for that, and so a lot of the faculty's been changed, mm-hmm. you know, and so they've moved, you know, to a more conservative viewpoint.
Yeah. There. Yeah. Well, you know.
I think it's going to depend on the leadership.
Yeah. Now, in the Methodist, the way the Methodist Church is set up, you don't have that, do you, Ted? I mean, it's kind of, it's hierarchy, right?
Well, we have over 80 different denominations.
I mean, I know you have differences of opinion, but...
No, we have 80 different denominations in Methodism.
Really?
Yeah, we've got three or four different ones just in this county.
Do you have a...
Well, now, there's a Wesleyan Methodist. That's what...
Wesleyans.
Okay.
But... Mount Pleasant is a global Methodist church.
Uh-huh.
St. James is a African Methodist Episcopal
church.
Yeah,
AME, yeah.
First Methodist is an independent Methodist church.
Yeah.
Ebenezer is a United Methodist church. So we've got at least four different flavors of Methodism just here and about.
Yeah.
But our Methodist seminaries, the United Methodist seminaries... for the most part, would lean to moderate to liberal.
Yeah.
And I'm not aware of any conservative United Methodist schools. There's 13.
Yeah.
I'm not aware of any conservative schools. I attended Asbury. Asbury's independent.
It is.
Not, yeah.
It's they're not tied to the Methodist Church at all.
Not any official organization. No. It's an independent.
Wasn't it
school.
At one time or
no.
never? Okay.
No.
I didn't realize that. Yeah.
So, I was raised and trained independent, kind of.
Well, your upbringing as a youth, were you a Methodist as a kid, or?
Well,
were you anything at all? Maybe I should ask.
Very early on, I attended an Evangelical United Brethren church.
What's that?
And then in 1968, it merged with the Methodist Church to become the United Methodist Church.
I see.
And I continued in the United Methodist Church and then was ordained in the United Methodist Church.
I see.
And then this past year, the church I pastor here in this community voted to leave that denomination and be independent.
I see.
And then I wanted to remain the pastor, so I needed to leave the denomination as well in order to remain with that congregation.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying.
So, but the United Methodist Church as a whole, their number one value is diversity. It's not right, wrong.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, how diverse can we be? Mm-hmm. That's the most important thing. Well, in a religious movement, that kind of undercuts that cuts your own throat. You say, let's get as many people believing as many different things as possible to be part of our group.
Yeah.
That's not a way.
Well,
to,
you're not.
That's not a way to succeed.
You don't see it as a
movement.
Group after that. I don't guess really. Maybe. Yeah, I see what
but
you're
that's,
saying.
But that's the number one. I mean, I was a pastor in that denomination for 32 years.
Yeah.
That's the number one push is the diversity.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the diversity of theological position.
Yeah.
Well,
that's why we have, and correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but so many, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but offshoots of the main, like so many of the different Baptist churches that are not members of the Southern Baptist Convention. I'm not saying that that's right or wrong, to be proper, but a lot of it is due to theological differences or maybe differences in ritual. Is that true?
I'd say probably in the Baptist, we're probably closer to doctrinal.
Doctrinal,
there's probably some secondary issues that separate us. It's probably a vast difference, I'm going to say, with you guys in the Methodist Church. I came out of the Methodist Church. So
I just thought of a subject that I'm going to throw at you guys when I come back, unless the Knoplaw text line gives me another one here.
Did we answer the texter's question?
I think you did.
Okay.
I think you did. They'll tell me if you didn't.
All right.
Yeah. Did you have a shot at that question, Jeremy? Did I give you a chance? Okay.
Yeah.
Jeremy Northcutt, Cynthiana Baptist Church, Ted Bean, United Methodist Church, Cynthiana. We'll be right back with more Coffee Break. Fourth quarter already. Good night. Move fast.
Are you looking to advance your career? Consider matching your expertise with one of the many career opportunities at Bullard. Bullard is a worldwide manufacturer and distributor of personal protective equipment, including hard hats, fire helmets, thermal imaging, and respiratory equipment. Internationally known as the inventor of the hard hat, Bullard is a fifth-generation family-owned company with headquarters right here in Cynthiana, Kentucky. If you're ready to unleash your potential, join our efforts in making the world a safer place, then join our team at Bullard, where we put the personal in personal protective equipment. Explore our career opportunities at www.bullard.com/careers.
Woof woof, arf arf. Honey, can I stop barking and come out of the doghouse now?
Not until you remember what day it is today.
Thursday?
Keep barking. Woof, maybe woof. Next time he'll remember arf, to go to Flower Depot. He could have gotten a fresh bouquet or something from their wonderful selection of country primitive items like Willow Tree Collectibles.
Woof, woof.
Flower Depot has gifts for every occasion.
Arf, arf.
And they're an exclusive dealer of Camille Beckman.
Oh, is it garbage day?
Keep barking.
Woof, arf.
Flower Depot helps you stay out of the doghouse on Main Street in Cynthiana. Online at flowerdepotfloral.com.
Bark.
Come and listen to my story about the boys named Clough. They grew up fast, they grew up tough. Then one day Harm said to his heirs, it's time to take over the little store at Lair. Ewald's Grocery, that is, Carhartt coats, pocket tees. Well, the next thing you know, there's clothes everywhere. The kinfolk said, sell boots, we'll buy a pair. Ewald's for all the family, cause they loaded up the store with everything you need. Clothing, that is, Carhartt, mossy oak. For the best selection of Carhartt clothes, there is no doubt. It's Ewald's Grocery on 27 South. Just past the fairground at the bottom of the hill. Tell them I sent you and get a good deal. Well, now it's time to say goodbye to the boys out at Lair. They'd like to thank you folks for kindly shopping there. You're all invited back at any time you know. Just to hear them say, have a good one, bro. Ewald's. Set a spell. Try some boots on. Y'all come back now, you hear?
Ewald's Grocery at Lair Station has the biggest names in footwear. Carhartt, Georgia, Muck, Timberland, John Deere, and Irish Setter.
If you have a comment or a suggestion for an upcoming Coffee Break program, call 234-1400 or send us a message at the Coffee Break page on our website at WCYN.com.
Hey, we're back with Coffee Break. Fourth quarter already this Monday. Getting you started off right, I think, by having some preachers in. How about that? They bring the preachers in about once a month, and I don't know if that's because they think I need the guidance or what.
You asked for it.
Did I ask for it?
It was your idea.
Was it my idea?
You told me that you'd like to bring in a group of preachers on a Sunday afternoon and have a talk
but
on
we
different
couldn't
doctrines.
Do it. Yeah.
And I said, how about Coffee Break? And you said, you know, I'd like to maybe have you guys come in on a Sunday afternoon. I said, how about Coffee Break?
Yeah.
Because there's no way we're going to come in on a Sunday afternoon.
You guys work on Sundays, don't you?
No way we're coming in on Sunday afternoon.
Yeah, so. But now I can't get rid of you. You're
and
in
now,
here every
well,
month.
It was
you know.
Your idea.
You just kind of like it. Let ants in
we're
the house.
You
can't get rid
anymore.
Of them. Yeah. No, I appreciate it. Of course, Ted Beam, you can see him in the pulpit at the First Methodist Church of Cynthiana, and Jeremy is going to be there at the Baptist Church. And I've got a very, very deep question I was going to ask you guys, okay? I don't know if we got time to get into it. But before I do, I think I need Jeremy to give us an update. You're building a big building back there in,
yes, sir.
By the railroad track in the old parking lot. How's that progressing? Looks like it's going up pretty quick.
Yeah, it's going up very well. They've got the concrete poured. Should be putting the dividing walls on the inside within the next week or two.
Yeah. So there you go.
What are you going to use the building for?
Whatever we can with ministry, just to be honest. We've got a committee together that's supposed to set some guidelines, but it'll be full gym, commercial kitchen.
They're going to play ball, Ted.
Commercial kitchen, fellowship hall, some Sunday school room or two, and bathrooms with showers. So we're going to try to get ready for just about anything and everything.
Was it two stories? It looks
no,
like
it. That was a little bit more on the cost. It's just a one story. The gym is the biggest part
I see,
of
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
And then the other side, there will be, I think, some room if we wanted to later on to go in and, yeah, and renovate some. We could put some classrooms above the yeah, fellowship hall and kitchen area and stuff. Yeah. So.
No, what I was going to, you know, I tried to, as you all were coming in today, at first I didn't know. I thought maybe we had a scheduling problem, okay? Because then Jeremy showed up. But I was sitting here, well, what am I going to talk to the preachers about today? Because I always like to try to get into something deep, you know. I don't know what put it in my mind, but I heard something about, you know, Calvinism and all that, okay? And, you know, of course, you're talking about predestination, predetermination, and all that. And those two words mean two different things to me. I'm wondering if they do to you. Predestination being in the Calvinistic mode, you're selected ahead of time as to who gets to go to the good place and who doesn't. Predetermination to me means that, you know, God's got his hand in every single thing. Now, you all correct me if I'm wrong about that, but what I was getting at, most of us do not believe in that, okay? I don't think that's necessarily a Protestant doctrine. You all correct me if I'm wrong. You're the preachers, I'm not. But at the same time, all of us Christians will say it's God's will, okay? Like God's directing everything, especially when bad stuff happens, okay? Talk about predestination and predetermination.
We don't have enough time.
Okay.
We definitely
I didn't want to give
time.
You too much time. You know, really, that's what I said. That maybe yeah. You want to save that for the next show.
Well, I think we can touch on it, but I think we're going to need at least well, the whole show.
Give me the
Ted can probably deal with a little bit on his, because you're probably more Armenian-leaning yeah. than your...
Give me the Cliff Notes version.
I'm more... I lean probably closer to the Calvinism than you do. Not yes. complete. I'm not a 5-point, but
you don't go by the tulip.
Oh no.
Okay.
No. there's a story that is in the Old Testament scripture about the King Saul. We're in the Book of Romans on Sunday night, just kind of going through verse by verse, and I brought this up because Paul is in chapter 9 and 10. He's talking. He said, "Who are you, old man, to call?" That the potter can do what he wants to with the lump of clay. He can make one for ignoble yeah. and lesser purposes, so or common purpose. And there's a story in the Old Testament that really kind of gets me about King Saul. Saul is on his way. The priests have given the showbread to David and his men, and Saul says, I'm going to go kill him. And so he's on his way to kill the priest. And on his way there, the Holy Spirit comes upon him, and he takes off his clothing
yeah.
and he begins to prophesy. And so his intent on the way changed.
Yeah, yeah.
He was angry. He was going to
change his mind.
And so God did that mm-hmm. as a direct result. God stopped him from doing that. And I'm thinking, okay, how does that fit into my theology? Now, I do believe that we have free will, that we can choose to do things. But I think everything that we choose is going to fit within God's sovereignty.
I see. Yeah.
So one of the examples, and this might be a stupid.
So does God know what we're going to do?
Oh, absolutely.
Before we choose
yeah.
it?
If God did not know something, he would cease.
He knows
to be,
all, sees yeah, all. Right. Yeah.
This
but that
a,
doesn't mean he's going to direct us necessarily in every single thing.
Yeah. No, I don't think that. And this might be a stupid little.
Well, otherwise, our quest to be good people, to live at the foot of the cross, so that we can be saved. I mean, that means nothing if it's already determined, yeah. right?
right. I think we can make a choice. And one of the little illustrations, and this is just how I understand it. This might be completely off base. But if you picture a large maze, and there's an exit or there's an entrance that comes in, and on the other end there's an exit.
Mm-hmm.
That's God already knows what that exit is. He knows where it's mm-hmm. at. There's doorways that we can go through, and one of them may be easier, and one of them may be harder, but it's going to get us to the same place.
Yeah.
And so sometimes those doors, in my theology, sometimes God closes doors and sometimes God opens doors. But whatever door we go through, whatever choice that we make in and of ourselves, is going to get us to God's predetermined will.
So basically what you're saying is that God knows what decision we're going to make, but it's ours to make. And if we call on him, he'll help us and lead us to that.
Yeah, I would say that's probably right.
All right, Ted, you got about 2 minutes to pontificate on this subject.
We'll
take this up again, but you know, people say, well, it's God's will. You know, go ahead, Ted.
At the very beginning, you mentioned predestination and predetermination. Until you said they were different, I thought they were just the same thing, same definition.
Well, now maybe
definition.
I ain't been close to a seminary lately, so you correct me.
I'm just telling you, I use them interchangeably, synonyms, yes.
I've heard them described interchangeably and as two different terms, yeah.
I'll tell you, one of the instances in my life, my wife and I went to pick out our wedding rings.
Mm-hmm. And she picked it out.
And the sales rep put a tray out, and I looked at him, gorgeous rings, and I said, no, she won't want any of those. So he put another one out there and a third. And in the third tray, there was one dinky little band in the bottom left corner. And I said, yeah. I said, that's the one she's gonna want. And he just said, well, let's hope not. Well, right about then, she came. I told him, I said, want to bet? And he said, you know, what would we bet? About then she came walking over toward where we were. So he said, don't say anything. So he put the trays back in the, you know, in the display case. And she sat there, and he brought one out. She looked at them and thought they were pretty. Second one, third one, fourth one, fifth one. And finally, the fifth one he brought out was the one with the dinky little thing at the bottom. And she looked, and she said, yeah, I want that one. And he just looked at me. He said, how did you know that?
You know, Jeremy, God is looking out for the man whose wife appreciates the cheaper jewelry, right?
Well, yeah. Because I looked at him and I said, I've been with her long enough to know she appreciates and prefers symmetry.
Uh-huh.
She wants things to go together, and that's the only one that will go with the dinky diamond on her finger. And, now, I knew the situation.
Yeah.
I knew her. But I did not make the decision.
Yeah.
I didn't determine it.
Yeah.
And I'm convinced that that's what God does. He knows the situation. He knows us.
Yeah.
But we make the decision.
Well, we make the decision.
He's made us. Ephesians 2:8-9, we are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance. The word workmanship there is poema. It's story. Uh-huh. God's writing that story.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll say this, gentlemen. I saw you both at Bianchi's earlier this week, and I was disappointed that neither of you offered to buy my meal.
You paid for it before we could.
I did.
You jumped ahead.
You know, I've got to quit doing that. Yeah. I got to start
now,
looking more.
See, that circles back to the whole thing about patience. You got to wait.
You guys
wait
are supposed to be
stuff.
Sympathetic and, you know, do things for people. The golden rule, you know, you should have bought my dinner that night. But no, the other thing
I want
to mention.
The hint.
I met your daughter.
Yes.
She
works at Bianchi's.
Well.
She take care of you?
Very impressive. Yes.
She
very,
is.
Very, very lovely and nice young lady.
She is.
And I forgot her name already, Ted. Excuse
it's me. Alyssa.
Alyssa, that's
but you,
right.
But you can call her Miss Nice.
That's one of the best things you can do, though, is have your kid work as a waiter. My daughter, Lauren, worked at Bianchi's when she was in high school. I said, my dear, if you can wait tables, you can do anything.
Yeah.
And that's true. Jeremy, thank you, buddy.
Thank you.
Best to you. Ted, thank you.
You're welcome.
Appreciate
thank
y'all
you. We enjoyed it.
Putting up with me. Well, see, is there anything else on the text line, Reed? Well, it's too late now. $45 is a high bid on the knife. Reed, do you know who the guest is tomorrow?
It's $50, Doug.
Oh, it's $50 now. Okay, excuse me. We got another one. I missed it. $50 is a high bid on the deal of the week knife. Go to WCYN.com, click on it. You may want to bid on that. It's a nice-looking one. Anything else to bid?
Not today, and I do not know the guest right off the top of my head.
All righty.
Tomorrow.
All righty. Hey, all I can say is thanks for living with us on the air in Cynthiana.
Thank you, Doug, and thank you, our listeners. Today's show is being brought to you by Cockrell's Auto Center, Whalen & Company, Sorrel Home Medical, Hinton Mills, Eastside Pharmacy, Van Hook Hardware, E.D. Bullard Company, Flower Depot, and Ewald's Grocery.
The views and opinions expressed during today's show have been those of the guest and host and are not necessarily those of the WCYN staff, management, or advertisers.